Dr. Rocky, continuing here, I mean, where should we go now? I mean, talking to Mr. Garten, you know, hearing about how his son died. Number one, what are the numbers that you've got since DU was first used 13 years ago in the first Gulf War and now used in three other areas, and then, well, four other areas, also here in the U.S. at least 10 different zones, open air, mass munitions at these different, you know, weapons testing grounds and all these battlefields where they're doing these simulated wars. All of, I mean, how many people are sick and dying from this?
We have to look at all of the combinations of the effects. We had, you can't isolate the exposures out to one given thing, and that's what's been the absolute horrifying thing about this whole thing. We know the individuals, when they had very specific exposures to uranium munitions contamination via inhalation, ingestion, or absorption, or the shrapnel in their wounds, that they're going to have problems. And I'm going to go back to the middle of last year where, you know, I actually have the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs reports. Out of 696,841 individuals that served during the Persian Gulf War proper, the combat action from August of 1990 through October, November of 1991, as of May of last year, 230,000 or 231,000 had put in for claims because they were sick and ill. And the VA had awarded, this is just those involved in the active combat phase of Gulf War I, 179,310. Now, we know the most current data and reports we've had in the last few weeks that this number now is over 181,000 that are on permanent disability. Now, they denied medical care to over 27,000 people. That includes my own staff. And I'm still, we were just fighting the last few days still trying to get my own staff medical care 14 years after the fact.
And you were there removing the destroyed vehicles that have been shot up with this stuff.
Oh, yeah. We were doing everything under the sun with hazardous materials, all the DU munitions, the chem-bio and RAD, the whole mess. So that's what we know has happened. Now, of everybody that served in the Persian Gulf region from August of 1990 through May of 2004, we had over 327,000 that have put in for permanent claims from the VA, and the VA had awarded permanent disability to over 257,000. That's one-third of the force.
Now, I've read the number that as of a few years ago was 35,000 of the troops have died for different reasons. Now I'm hearing that number is 50,000 just from the first Gulf War. Is that accurate?
Probably too low. I can't get it. It's just astonishing. Then we go to Operation Iraqi Freedom. Okay? Again, as of August of this last year, we already had the VA had awarded permanent disability to 27,571. We're at 20% within 1 year. We had 153 cases of cancer. We had, let's go to some of the bigger numbers, 5,375 of the neuropsych, over 5,000 neurological, respiratory, digestive, over 6,000. I mean, we're seeing skin problems. It just devastated me and all my staff. Neuromuscular, over 8,000. These are permanent problems already with the kids.
Well, let's get personal. Your team, how big was it? How many people have gotten cancer? How many have died?
Real good, hard put together. If we look at the total number of individuals the U.S. Department of Defense totally acknowledged was all involved in friendly fire plus all of our cleanup, that's over 400 individuals. As
from a group of how many?
That's over 400 individuals.
So out of 400 individuals, how many have gotten cancer or have
problems? It's a real hard thing to put, but we've been able, looking at all the data, we got well over 20 are dead out of the primary 100. Now, the thing that's astonishing, which is really bad news on
you. Well, that's 20% out of the primary 100.
Yeah, it is. And what we look at, which is really bad news on this whole thing, is even though we had 424 individuals there that I can specifically identify, the Department of Defense has totally acknowledged in their own documents, they told President Bill Clinton back in 1998, that was 7 years after the fact, they'd only notified 104 and 105 individuals out of 424 that they need medical care 7 years after the fact. And as the Department of Defense is totally acknowledging here even recently.
So they're even admitting, yes, you've been poisoned, you need care, but the mainstream media still, is DU bad for you?
Well, there, the other thing, too, is but you can't get medical care. I mean, you know, up until even the last few days, I'm still fighting to get medical care for my sergeant, who they claimed the Department of the Army down at National Records Center, St. Louis, Missouri, claims was never there. But you go to the unclassified and classified reports, and the photos, he's all over the place. So what we have is just a total, absolute disregard for the existing orders and regulations that mandate medical care for everybody, and they just totally walk away. Now, the thing, and this is the horrifying thing about this thing, and which has really bothered me completely, now we have another one of our warriors, another son, Sergeant Gardner, who's died over nothing. That's what's really the tragedy here. It's all over nothing. But then when we send our troops in with inadequate training, for example, right here, I'm near Champaign, Illinois, we're getting ready to deploy over 600 members of the 2nd Battalion, 130th Illinois Army Infantry National Guard to Iraq. They're leaving within hours, okay? That's how close it is. They do not have the training, because I've talked to them. They do not have the equipment. And they're being sent into a nightmare again. And
well, I've read the Army doesn't even allow the issuance of the training manuals about DU.
Well, they haven't done that. I mean, the number of orders that were issued once I completed all this stuff back in the 90s and again reissued, and the total just refusals to do it is just continued travesty and a tragedy.
Why every war do they do this to our troops, and now it's getting even worse? I mean, why did they almost take an enjoyment in hurting the troops even greater than the enemy does, and then not even giving them treatment?
Well, part of the thing is, it's just winning the battle and winning the war with a total disregard for health and environmental effects. You have to understand, this goes back to what I learned from my days in Vietnam. We're totally expendable.
Well, that shows Rumsfeld's disconnect going, hey, you go to war with the army you got. They had years to get ready for this.
Well, we actually planned to put this thing together years ago. So all the stuff that's happening, when you look at the training, the operations, and all the exercise we have is all put together. But it's total disregard. It's real simple. The United States uses uranium munitions because they're extremely effective. They destroy a nation's infrastructure, release all the toxic industrial chemicals. They don't provide the troops with the protection they needed. They don't clean up the mess that they're supposed to do. Then they put the troops in there, and the kids come back sick, and they die, and nobody gives a flying.
They'll be right back.